Let's make a show.
We got a show.
Make a show for the people.
It's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's Superhero Slade. It's a modern podcast where we talk about everything that's great. Like movies, TV, superheroes. It's Superhero Slade.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And this week, Superhero Slate is on lockdown, but we're still covering news for you.
Throw in that sound effect of a jail cell door closing. It's the same one that every TV drama uses, like...
Oh, yeah, it's just like any jury show, you know, like you're going to jail and you hear the sound. But we're not in jail. We're here. We're doing this on our own accord, and we're going to be talking things like the most recent delay for Black Widow, the most recent casualty.
The hottest news of the quarantine is movie delays.
Movie delays and early releases as well.
Yes.
We're casting Ahsoka in The Mandalorian, which I think almost broke the internet this week.
Ooh, surprising news. I was going to lead the podcast image with maybe some of the Wonder Woman rumors, or maybe even some of the Spider-Man 3 rumors, but nope, this one took the cake.
Yep, and we're also enjoying early to digital movie releases. We just talked about that. That's going to be awesome and more.
Yes, and I've that's been a point of pride for Chris, because you're a digital movie home theater. You're that type of person. You want the movie on ones and zeros in your own home. So the fact that a lot of this stuff is coming out early, I think, is getting you really excited.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm sad that there's not a longer run, but at the same time, you know, and this is in our notes later, but like, has this model been viable the whole time, Mike? And they've just been holding out on us.
We'll have to. Well, I mean, this is the way to find out. They got no other decisions.
Yeah. So we are. I guess the world at large, mostly. I think probably mostly America right now. We're on a kind of a self-imposed quarantine.
Yeah.
Is there some government mandated, but not nationally at this point?
Such a big change from last week. I was trying to remember kind of what we talked about, like, quarantine wise last week on the podcast. And I believe the way the world was, or at least the kind of United States, was just like, please just work from home. If you can work from home, work from home. You know, don't go outside too much. You know, try not to touch people. Everyone, you know, pull everything back a little bit.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands, of course. And then just a week later, especially out here in California, first, since we live out here in LA, first the mayor came in and said, nope, everybody on lockdown. Don't go outside unless you have to. We're only keeping grocery stores and, like, hospitals open. Everything's canceled. Like, nightclubs, everything. Don't go to bars, restaurants, or delivery and carry out only. And then the governor of California came in and said, yep, we're doing the same thing for the entire state. Everybody stay home. And then the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is bringing everyone together on social media, because he's like posting videos from his, like, I'm guessing it's some sort of zoo that he's built himself, because he has like two donkeys.
Did he put a little miniature horse in a headlock? One of those videos, I'm pretty sure. So
the headlock did make me a little nervous, because I'm guessing Arnold, he's a very strong man, but he's a professional strong man, so I'm sure he's very aware of his own strength. And of course, a donkey's neck is much stronger than my own neck itself. So I was like, I'm sure he knows what he's doing. I'm sure it's not so much of like a squeeze. It's more of just like, I'm making a loop that you can't get your head out of right now. And behave. If donkeys are going to live in a house, they got to follow our rules.
Yeah. Donkeys on quarantines rules. Are going to learn that bored humans are very miserable to be around.
Yes.
Very, very quickly.
But long story short, we have been quarantined in our place really ever since the weekend. It's been, I would say, just over a week for us. So we've only been going to just the grocery store whenever we absolutely have to, and to the pharmacy just to pick up prescriptions here and there, which is great, because the pharmacy is a great opportunity to scope out toilet paper. That's where we got our first quarantined roll of toilet paper. I was waiting for a prescription to be filled, and I saw the lady rolled out from behind. So that's starting to run a little bit low, though. When you're home a lot, you do a lot of your bathrooming. if I had to turn that into a room. Yeah. If I had to turn that into a verb that wasn't too disgusting. You do a lot of your bathrooming at home, but, so you go through toilet paper a lot faster.
But you're at home, so you can just jump into the shower, Mike. You can just, you know...
That is true. If worse comes to worse, you can always just jump in the shower.
You're right there. You don't have. You mean you just hop back out. You don't even have to get your hair wet, man.
Yes, you know what? I don't need people yelling at me right now about bidets because people, I am on top of it. We have a bidet. We've owned it for over 2 years because I asked for one from my parents for the holidays a few years back. But the problem is when you get these bidets that attach to an existing toilet. It like raises your toilet seat up, and if you don't have just the right toilet seat, it's like every time you sit on it, like you're descending like 2 inches of plastic, and it like bends it. So like if we ever want to get this bidet to work, we have to like go out, we have to research toilet seats, and it's already so much work. So we're just sticking the toilet paper right now.
I heard from your wife that you were using it as a drinking fountain too much, so she had to take it down and say the toilet seat was breaking it.
Well, you know, it's sometimes when you're down there.
You're thirsty. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think it's a little less severe in the Middle West because there's a lot less opportunity to work from home when most of our economy is factories and hourly workers, which is really, really tragic and a whole different story in and of itself. But, I mean, I've been, you know, my company's not working from home indefinitely. We're equipped to handle this. It's not a problem. But I've been going in to do work at the office, and I just told Mike this. There's only two of us in the office, usually at any given time, right now anyway, on opposite ends of the building. So it's pretty good.
And I'm ready to chastise anybody, including you, at a moment's notice. I was grilling you on, like, how far is the only coworker away from you? Where are these warehouse people? Are they coming in? Don't touch any of those doorknobs. I'm doing the same thing for my wife right now. So we gotta, it takes a village to avoid this virus.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, I get in my car, I'm windows up, drive to work, drive back, you know, pretty good. I don't even go out and eat when I'm there. Like I want to avoid restaurants. I want to avoid stores unless it's a necessity. So yeah, I mean, we're doing it. And honestly, one of the dumbest parts about this whole thing, Mike, is, and I say this is dumb, is all, again, I mentioned this, the bored celebrities are driving me nuts.
Oh, gosh, we feel so bad for you and your giant mansions and all of the people that you can pay to go out and get stuff for you.
Yes, and then, like, did you see the Gal Gadot video where they're all singing Imagine?
So
it's the cringiest thing in the world.
I luckily have avoided watching it, but I am aware of it, and everyone's just like, nobody cares. I mean, that's the one thing that I did appreciate about Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's posted two videos as far as I know. The first one is him basically literally and figuratively flexing his lifestyle. Like, I have donkeys in my house and I'm not going outside. But it comes with the message of you are not supposed to go outside either. Let's everyone stay home and beat this virus. And the second one, he's smoking the biggest, fattest stogie I've ever seen in his hot tub from his backyard. So he's not trying to hide it at all. He knows he's living better than anybody else, but he's not trying to act like he's like downtrodden or anything like that. He's just trying to put the positive vibes out there. So I appreciate that perspective. Like, don't fake it. We all know you're having a good time.
These actors need scripts and directors for them to be successful on video. Don't do it yourself. That's what I'm seeing here. But I did see the guy who voiced Peter B. Parker in Into the Spider-Verse. He's doing free calls to kids on
his
Twitter thing.
Yeah, I believe it. What is his name? I think I get his real name confused with his character's name in New Girl.
It's Jake something.
Jake, yeah, whatever. But yeah, that guy was. I thought that was cool. I like it when people kind of pay it forward, because he could be charging $50 on Cameo if he really wanted to do that.
Yeah, so there are good people, and there's horrible people like Evangeline Lilly, who's not quarantining, and she's like, I want my freedom over my safety of people. I don't know what she's doing, but like Mike said, you know, once the MCU gets large enough, you're eventually hiring crazy people, so.
Yeah, like, there's no doubt about it. Once any sample size of humanity reaches a certain size, you just can't control it. So the MCU eventually was going to get big enough where they start to get some wackos, so... Yeah, hopefully she's turned course. I mean, I know we don't really ever talk about Vanessa Hudgens on this podcast, but she's out there saying dumb, crazy stuff, too. So
we do actually very frequently, but I just cut it out. in the final episode.
Yeah, that's right after Mike's Anime Corner is Chris's Vanessa Hudgens Nook.
Yeah.
But yeah, that gets cut for time. You know, we only have so much bandwidth. Yeah.
Well, the problem is I usually run into my Selena Gomez running my life segment. And, you know, we can't do this for 3 hours for you folks. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, true. I have to cut it out. But some celebrities who do podcasts are doing their podcast at home. And that's going to lead me to my first thing here. One of our listeners was like, pointing out, I think it was Jenna Fisher and I forget the other lady's name, Angela Kinsey, who do the The Office podcast.
The Office Ladies, yep.
The Office Ladies. And they're like, well, we're trying to make this work in our houses. And I'm like, we've been doing this out of like our apartments our whole 5.5 years of doing this. Like,
yeah. I think a lot of people, when they're thinking of like podcasts, the first technical image that pops up in their head is a soundboard of a certain size. You know, it could be giant, the size of your dining room table if you're mastering like an album from like the Rolling Stones or something like that. Or it could be kind of tiny. It could maybe be about the size of your MacBook. But I'm here to let you know you don't need that to make a podcast. Now it's really helpful when you have like maybe multiple people in a room. You have different microphones set up and you want to adjust levels. But if you're doing this separately from home, the biggest advice I could give to anybody would be record your own source audio and then just learn how to combine the two pieces together. Because one of my biggest pet peeves is when there's somebody that I really want to hear from, whether it's like a luminary in their industry or maybe it's like an expert who's starting their own podcast, but they don't realize that you can't just rely on the recording from the Skype app. The recordings directly from the Skype app, unless you go like third party and like you buy a different piece of software, the thing that comes right out of Skype just sounds awful. And then usually they want to see the person that they're talking to, so they're also video chatting, which really degrades the sound quality. So you need to go just straight audio and get it straight from the source, and that's at least how you can get it to sound like us.
Yeah, and again, what our initial microphones were $50. Into our computers.
Yeah, I'm still on my initial microphone. I know you've upgraded, and I have plans in the future to upgrade, but
yeah,
as of right now, you just need any normal computer that has a USB port and then like a $50 microphone.
Yes, and then do you have to have a studio? No.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm looking at the inside of my closet right now.
We both started in single-bedroom apartments recording our stuff. Mike is still in a single-bedroom apartment recording his thing in his closet. I've been in his studio, I'm putting air quotes here, when we recorded our San Diego Comic-Con show. He's got a card table as he talks into the clothes in the closet for softening.
It's really not that hard, and we've recorded at least one or two podcasts where I was too lazy to move all my stuff into the bedroom, so you might not even be able to tell the difference. So if you're trying to pick up like a podcast, you know, I guess if you have the money to pay a podcast producer, go ahead and do it, because people need work right now, and then you'll just have an engineer, you'll have somebody else that can deal with all the audio struggles. That's great. But if you just need something to do during this quarantine, you do not need a bunch of fancy stuff.
Exactly. And all that stuff you can order on Amazon and get delivered to your house, or do the Best Buy, I think, is doing curbside pickup for items.
Contactless. Yeah. I think that, I don't know what they're doing. I imagine that there's just like an employee on the inside, like holding binoculars, and then you, like through like an app or an email, you come up with some sort of secret hand signal. It's like, yep, that's the hand signal. Chuck the TV out on the curb. That's yours. Go grab it before somebody else sneaks in and swoops it away.
I imagine it's like the Uber apps. Your phone glows green and like, oh, we have green over there. We need to take put the order down.
Yeah, that's actually a smart idea. I was just trying to be a jackass, but that's a good idea.
No, not you. But yeah, I mean, and also like I'm recording in my little, what I call my studio, with my pop vinyls for sound thing. But honestly, as long as you don't have a big open room and you're not recording in your great hall, I think you can be fine recording your audio. Just staying close to your microphone, adding a pop filter. I think we both have pop filters, right? Very important. And you can really do a podcast for minimal $50. And there are free software-free apps out there. I'm blanking on the one we use for work that we don't pay for. Because it's free, and you just record into it, and it uploads, and you can get to go to Skype, not Skype, I'm sorry, iTunes and Spotify for free as well.
It's nothing but a Google search away, Chris. But the best thing about a podcast, and the number one thing that everybody needs to do when they start one, is stay consistent. Pick a day, pick a time frame, and just keep it consistent, because that's what your listeners want. And that segues into something that we were chatting about before we started recording. I have lost all frame of reference for days and times, and the only thing I know is Sundays is podcast day. So I'm thankful to have this podcast so it can anchor me to technically the end of the weekend, the beginning of the week. So I'm glad I have it, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. And now we kind of know, like, hey, what's your day look like? And we're like, really nothing. Nothing at all right now.
Usually we pick Sundays because it's a relatively free day for us. And I thought it was funny, like, oh, I bet Chris is ready to record right now. And then he's like, no, I'm installing like a light bulb. And I was like, Chris, we're quarantined. You're not supposed to be doing anything right now. Get on this podcast.
I'm quarantined, sir. I'm not installing somebody else's light pictures. but I was putting one in for my pop vinyl and movies and video game area. So,
yeah, Chris, I've never been to your house, but I imagine, when I do get the opportunity to one day, I'm going to walk in and every room is going to be a different color, because I feel like every time I hear about your home automation, projects, like, oh, I put a new different colored light bulb in here and this one syncs up to this. And I feel like it'll be a whole visual experience walking through the tour of your house.
You know, and that gives me enough time to plan out a, hey, Alexa, turn on the mic.
Chris, you just messed with everybody. Hopefully nobody was listening to this podcast on a speaker right now. You just triggered a lot of stuff.
That's fine. But yeah, anyway, to answer that question, podcasting at home is the easiest thing that we have been doing for a minimum of 265 news episodes and 50 plus review episodes. Mm-hmm. And really, I think, again, Mike nailed it at the end. You have to keep a schedule. You have to keep it regimented. This is a hobby for us, but we treat it like a job, I think, Mike. You know, I mean, the ink product is something we're proud of, and we do it every week the same way over and over again. So that answers that question. However, Mike, something that's going to help you be scheduled right now is some TV shows are starting to come back on TV.
Oh, yes. There's so much time to stream, Chris.
There's so much time to stream. But this one's on a week-by-week schedule, Mike, which is what you hate the most in the world when it comes to watching TV. But Westworld is back, and you just recently got caught up finally on season 2.
Oh, yes. And I've promised I won't do any season 3 spoilers, because, Chris, you've told me you haven't had a chance to watch the first episode. So you'll have a great back-to-back viewing tonight, because I believe episode 2 airs tonight. The Westworld has been an interesting experience in our household, because this is kind of... We're in like the prestige landscape now with television, where it's getting so expensive and so tenuous to make these shows that they air like every other year now, kind of like Stranger Things does. So we watched the first season of Westworld, which seems like it was 30 years ago, and it was great. We loved it. We watched it every week. And then season 2 started, and we kind of fell off after about the third episode. It was kind of moving a little bit slow at the beginning of season 2. It just wasn't as I would say it wasn't as intriguing and mysterious as it used to be. So we kind of fell off when that was airing, I believe, in 2018.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, we got the time. Let's go back, watch season 2, because season 3 is starting to premiere. So we caught up from season 4. We binged it all in a couple days. I forgot that these Westworld episodes, they're HBO drama hour-long shows, which means they are 60 minutes long. So it's a lot to bite off. But luckily, we've been boarded up in the apartment. So yes, we watched season 2, and it was a great ride. I loved binging them back and forth. It was just it was like mainlining this crazy Westworld again. And man, I wish I could talk about season 3. You've seen the trailer though, right? So yeah. you kind of know where they're going.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued with the aesthetic of the world that they're setting up for season 3. So I'll leave it there. It kind of feels like you're almost going into a different show, but you have this insane 2-season backstory on like the main villain, you know? So it's this interesting concept. I'm very curious where it's going to go. So, Chris, I'm looking forward to maybe talking about maybe the first 2 episodes maybe next week on the podcast.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, what I did actually, I don't know if I told you this, I was able to catch up to Clone Wars, and I am on the most recent episodes. I'm all caught up.
Hey, look at you.
And I will tell you, the first arc of this new season, fantastic. My favorite episodes of the show, Mike. I'm very excited for you to get there as well. So you'll have to give me that. But also, instead of just binging things while we're down, we can play video games very easily. I think there's been an uptick in video games. Really, yeah, around the world. We're not talking what's that one that just came out, Animal Crossing. We're not those people, but
well, we don't have Switches. If I had one, I would give it a try. My Twitter timeline is infatuated with this game. I believe last week we played the Final Fantasy VII demo and we chatted about it a little bit on the show. What have you been playing, Chris?
I've been mostly playing Fortnite, to be honest. I got four wins yesterday with listener to the show, Adam Nemec, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Adam.
Hey, happy birthday.
We got four wins in Fortnite, which is unheard of. Three back-to-back. But also, I downloaded the new Call of Duty Warzone game. Do you know why?
Why, Chris?
Because it's free. Not because I'm a Call of Duty fan. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, but I played it with friend of the show, Quentin Parker, and your guys' other friend, Javier. And we all got together because you have a three-man thing, and we played it. Me and Quentin got the first game we played together was a win as well, which was ride that high the rest of the night. We were up like 3 a.m.
So two questions. Yes. Question number one. Is this a recent Call of Duty that's been turned free, or is this like a slightly older version that's been given away for free?
This is a brand new Battle Royale version of Call of Duty.
Okay, so they stripped the story out. They're kind of going for that Fortnite market or Apex Legends market.
Yeah, the Battle Royale, the free-to-play, but buy the season pass and buy skins and, cosmetics approach.
Gotcha, okay.
And it's got... All the portions of the map are actually classic multiplayer maps from Call of Duty that have been merged together into one map. So some of the places may look familiar because...
Oh, so it's like a gigantic map?
It's one big circle, yes.
Whoa! That actually really intrigues me because that means like they're not just taking a part of the game and throwing it online for free. They've actually kind of innovated on it. So my second question was, I think I saw you guys talking about this a little bit in the group chat that we have. Did somebody mention like cross-platform play?
Yes, one of the biggest things, with Fortnite, and I don't think Apex Legends has or not, but like a lot of more recent games that are free to play that are huge like this are cross-platform capable. So we were talking last night about how much you would hate this game, Mike.
Why would I hate this game?
I don't know. I was just joking. But like, you could play on your PlayStation, and we would be on our Xboxes and be able to play with each other.
Oh, hey, give me an invite next time. Now that I know I can play it with you guys, I'd like to give it a shot.
Yeah, well, you go ahead and download it and jump it in there. But cross-platform, I think, is going to be the huge thing in video games. We're not going to talk about it this week. That PlayStation 5 and Xbox 4 or whatever specs were released this week as well, and they're like, who's gonna win the console war? It doesn't matter.
This should be a good heads up for everybody in general. With the quarantine kind of shutting down Hollywood in general, once we kind of get over this initial wave of movie delays and early movie releases, we might see a little less news than that we would usually get at the beginning of the summer. So we might be talking a little bit more about other nerdy things like video games and consoles and maybe iPads with weird keyboard cases, but we assure you we're going to give you all the news that we absolutely can.
Things we normally talk about in our group chats that we don't bring up in the show will start making the way into the show.
But we guarantee you there'll be enthusiasm there to the same level, for sure.
Exactly. Tons of enthusiasm and lots of opinions. That we can guarantee. But you got another demo this week on your PlayStation you've been playing.
I didn't need to ramp up my anxiety anymore, but I decided it'd be a good idea to try this Resident Evil 3 remake demo.
And that's the one with Nemesis, right?
Yes. Okay. The only classic Resident Evil games that I've played before the GameCube one, which was, that's RE4, correct? Where you're playing Leon.
Leon, again. That one did the kind of the hillbilly country level.
Yeah, the kind of like Eastern Europe virus or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only other classic Resident Evil game that I really played at any length at all was the very first Resident Evil. So I never played 2, which was remade, last year? Yeah. and I didn't really play that. So, you know, I'll give this third one a try. I got the time, and it's very stressful, like Resident Evil games should be. I had to go in the menu. I turned up the brightness a little bit because I didn't want it too dark. That's a little too scary for me. And then I had to turn down the music sound effects a little bit because I was like, I don't need this creepy music just pounding through the background of this game, just scaring the crap out of me. So first I turned it down all the way, and I was like, oh no, it's too quiet. I kind of need that little creepy music just a little bit to kind of add a little bit of atmosphere. So I was making it through the game. There's not a whole lot to do in the demo. The kind of your main goal is to get a fire hose, and then to there's an unlockable weapon that you have to get by cutting a chain to get the shotgun. So I was like, oh, I really want to get the shotgun. I feel like I'm going to need it. And also, I want to get the most out of this demo as possible. So I couldn't find the bolt cutters to save my life, but I accidentally triggered Nemesis, which is when you get towards the end of the video game. And I was like, oh, crap, I heard about this guy. He's literally chasing me everywhere. And I was like, oh, I'll run into this like little apartment real quick. He won't be able to open a door. Nope, he opens the door. Then there's like two zombies in there. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like running for my life. I barely get out of there just in time. I haven't explored enough of the area, so I don't really know where to go or what to do. So he just like kills me, and I'm just like, nope, that's it. I'm just going to go on the internet. I'm going to watch Markiplier play this game. A lot less stressful. So I got to experience the rest of the game that I didn't get to see, but... Man, I had this naive idea of possibly downloading the Resident Evil 2 remake because it's on sale. There's a lot of video games on sale right now digitally out there. So, like, oh, maybe I'll get that one. That'll be a little bit more...
Less stress-inducing? Experience.
Yeah, no, it's going to be just as stress-inducing. So I think what I'm going to do, I think my plan moving forward with video games is the first Doom that just got a sequel earlier this week is on sale for like $10. And even though that is kind of demon-esque, it's more of a gruesome action game.
It's a great experience, Mike. I didn't think much of it when I got it. I think it was like maybe one of those monthly subscriptions or whatever I got for free or whenever I got to play it. I had a great time with Doom, the more recent remake. Not the one that came out this week, but the other one. So I think you'll have a good time as well. It's got some replayability to go find hidden stuff as well, which I really enjoy. Now, if you really want to pee your pants, Mike, you need to pick up Resident Evil 7 and put it on your VR.
Oh, I thought you were about to segue into the next little topic we have here.
And no.
Oh, wow, Chris.
No, we're going
to... I didn't know that was so scary
for
you. Well,
I'm going to work my way from VR to that, okay? Okay, Mike, I had a plan here. But gotcha. Resident Evil 7 will make you pee yourself if you're playing it in VR
mode. I think I talk about it on the show every once in a while. I'm a fan of watching Let's Plays and long playthroughs. So I've seen the Resident Evil 7 playthrough, VR and just like normal straight through the way. But yeah, that game is terrifying even just to watch.
Yeah. I picked
hillbillies
up.
Are terrifying in any way you get them.
Yeah, I know.
Swamps, hillbillies.
I live in Kentucky. I can hear the banjos from my house. Exactly. But... You know, what's great about VR is, you know, it's giving me a chance to go play some games or relive experiences without really leaving my house, Mike. Uh-huh. But while, you know, you other people may not have a VR system, you can make your own Disneyland experience as this tweet that we have in our show notes here about Pirates. It's kind of a Pirates of the Caribbean ride, isn't it? All the way through.
Yeah, it's a lot of people stuck in their home, living the hashtag quarantine life, if you will. And one of the last things to kind of get canceled before everything shut down here in California was Disneyland. I'm not really sure about Disney World. I don't really know what's going on with the Florida park right now.
I think it's closed as well.
Yeah, Florida's getting a lot of news headlines in the last couple of weeks, which is, you know, not out of the ordinary for Florida in general. But at least out here on the West Coast, Disneyland is closed, and one of the more popular rides is Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a very laid-back ride, not really a lot of scares or spooks. It's more of just like a visual experience. So we've linked to a funny tweet in the show notes that with somebody like doing like a homegrown Pirates of the Caribbean ride. I think they're basically just pulling a sled through their house and recreating some of the attractions. I saw another one recently. I don't know if it's the same people, but somebody else has also done the Haunted Mansion. So I just the quarantine life is really putting a lot of funny tweets and memes out there on the internet. So that's one positive from the quarantine is I get to see people recreate Pirates of the Caribbean.
A lot of creative energy focused in other places.
You know, another really good segue you could have done, Chris, is the banjo. We were talking about banjos and rednecks in RE7. There's a banjo that kind of kicks off the ride for Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney parks.
Well,
so
there's only one thing scarier than banjo sounds. And that's Sean Bean.
There you go.
I'm trying to tie it into your next thing for you here, because I'm like, how do I tie into this movie?
Yeah, this is. I think this is our last little riffraff topic up here at the top of the show. One thing that's been comforting during this whole process, which is very surprising, is just going on Wikipedia and reading everything that I can about the bubonic plague, or the Black Death, if you will. Because if you feel like the coronavirus is scaring you a little bit, which, you know, it should, you know, it is very lethal for certain parts of the population. You need to do your best not to be spreading the virus to at-risk people. So you absolutely need to stay home. You need to wash your hands. But if you just want to put things in context a little bit, you know, forget about this whole flu statistic that people keep throwing around. Go and read about the bubonic plague, which had a mortality rate anywhere between like 80 to 95%, and it would kill you in 8 days. This thing like ravaged 1300s Europe and other parts of the world, and I was reading all about it, and it was very scary but very interesting. I think the craziest thing about it is the symptoms are very visual. There was like boils on people, their skin was falling off. I mean, extremely graphic. So the first thing I thought of is, man, I really want to watch a movie that was kind of set in this time. I just want to see maybe how a director or a writer would kind of handle this. So obviously what you do is you go on Google and you search for movies that happened during the bubonic plague.
Oh my gosh.
And the only one that I could really find that had any sort of like credence or any sort of credits or any sort of like backbone to it is this movie that came out in 2010 called Black Death. Very brutal. I was surprised to see that Sean Bean is in it, along with Eddie Redmayne.
Yep.
He plays like a monk. Now, I haven't watched the movie yet, because one thing that's incredibly frustrating about the streaming landscape is that, like, not everything is streaming, but usually there's this part in the back of everybody's brain that goes, if it's a niche enough movie that nobody cares about and nobody has ever seen, it probably is streaming for free somewhere. And I wanted to complain on the podcast, because when you have a podcast, it's a great tool, it's a great avenue to have to be an outlet. So I'll complain to everybody here real quick, is why isn't this movie that I've never heard of, made in 2010, Black Death, which I'm sure did not have a very good box office return, why is the only place I can stream it is a place called Hoopla and another place with ad support? I think it's Popcorn Flicks or something like that. Like, this is unconscionable. This is a movie that is just ripe to be streaming on Amazon Prime or even like Netflix. It's a Sean Bean delivered movie. Hell, Sean Bean has a lot of goodwill over at HBO. Why isn't this streaming on HBO? I want to watch this movie about the bubonic plague with Eddie Redmayne and Sean Bean, and I just can't do it. So, you know, that's my little complaining corner right now. If anybody has seen this movie, technically it's considered fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. So I want to know what's going on with the world, Chris. Why can't I stream this movie that will entune me a little bit more with plagues?
Well, I looked into it, and, you know, you've got the Ned Stark and then the lady who played Melisandre in both of them in Game of Thrones in this movie is the leads.
Man.
You remember Melissa, the Red Witch?
I just can't understand why I can't watch it right now. So,
well, because they're big actors, they win Game of Thrones. they're hoarding this movie to themselves. Just go watch. Watch it on Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Do you remember Crackle? We had this conversation last
night.
Oh,
Crackle, Sony's old streaming service.
Yeah, we Javier brought it up, and I was like, oh yeah, Crackle. I get it confused with Epics now, because, you know, they've got that popular streaming show Pennyworth on there that I've been looking for. So all right, Mike, let's get on to the news. Let's this is time. I got no segues. Black Widow has been indefinitely delayed from theaters. Sadly, I thought this was safe. I thought it was in the May zone, which is throwing my days off, because I don't think we're in the back half of March. I think we're in April whenever I think release delay. We're not sure when it'll hit the theaters. However, a lot of people were like, will this affect the Marvel Cinematic Universe release order going forward? You know, is something that's tied into the next movie? Well, knowing that Black Widow is a prequel, I do not think it will affect anything, and most other people seem to agree that this movie can be pretty much released whenever, and it does not affect anything immediately. Yeah.
I think the only big lingering question is, we've talked about this on the show before, where, you know, we think that they might introduce a character in Black Widow that may move forward within the MCU. Who knows if it's a character that we've seen in the trailer or not. Maybe Taskmaster dies, maybe it doesn't. There could be a character that does move forward that might need to be pre-established in this movie. But the only thing that we have in front of it within the next calendar year is we have Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
We have
WandaVision,
that'll be towards the back part of the year. And then we have the Eternals.
Yep.
I can't imagine that Black Widow dovetails into the Eternals that much. I would be more worried about Falcon and the Winter Soldier because these are kind of more boots to the ground type of characters. But if it's being delayed, I would imagine they want to put it out before their next MCU film. So we could maybe be seeing a new box office record, maybe setting month. Like if Black Widow maybe gets moved to like August, or maybe if it gets moved to like October or September.
Put it up against Morbius.
Yes, if it gets pushed in one of these like months where usually we don't see a big Marvel movie, it could end up being a good headline for them, where it's like, oh, biggest release in September of all time because they had to move it to September. That could be a possibility. But I mean, we've seen smaller movies move, which makes sense, but like Black Widow, that's never going to be a movie that's going to go straight to video on demand. That's something that can be delayed. So the only good thing is we could be watching Black Widow 1 month. The next month, we could be watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then not too long to wait, we could have like kind of 4 months in a row of Marvel content. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah, or more, because those Marvel shows are what, 2 months apiece? I mean, mm-hmm. We could have a week with off. Are we doing this all the way through here? And on topic in a second, we'll talk about some other opportunities here for some of their shows. But as a whole, sadly, you know, for everyone, you know, in the entertainment industry, Marvel Studios is essentially on indefinite hiatus. It was supposed to be a 2 week break for everything. Now it's looking more like four or plus, depending on the state of the union, really, anywhere around the globe, based on the COVID-19 stuff. So
yeah, I mean, this is kind of a cool opportunity for the animation industry, which is one of the few pieces of content that can be made working from home, because you don't need to get a whole bunch of actors in a studio to film. You don't need a huge crew there. You don't need somebody holding a microphone behind a camera and stuff like that. There's still plenty of people that do need to be involved to make an animated show, because it's probably one of the more collaborative mediums here in Hollywood. But the great thing is I follow quite a few animation artists on Twitter, and guess what? They're working from home. They're not on hiatus. Netflix Animation Studio is using a bunch of money to set a lot of people up at home. People are getting their drawing tablets. A lot of people are sharing their at-home workstations. So this could be a cool little surge in the entertainment industry for just animation in general. And I think Marvel, that would be a great opportunity for them to lean into it. They have their What If show coming out. It's not this year, unfortunately, but I got to imagine they could keep production on season 2 of that going. They have a lot of Disney XD type of shows. I wonder if maybe some of those will keep getting produced. I would love to see some maybe more direct-to-video movies from Marvel, because really DC is the only one doing that right now. So that would be really cool to see. So if all the live-action stuff has to be on pause right now, maybe in about a year, since animation takes a lot of time to produce, maybe in 2021 or 2022, we'll see this gigantic influx of animation just from every studio out there.
I would love to see Spider-Ham short stories, some more of those.
Oh, yeah, we kept hearing about that could possibly be an animated series, but maybe this is the time to dust it off.
Yeah, anyone pitching animated ideas right now is probably getting hurt a lot more than live-action people. So that's the thing. But sorry that, you know, all the TV shows that are Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki, WandaVision, Shang-Chi... I think Eternals was still filming, and then I don't think they've gotten into Spider-Man yet. So I think those are the only ones in production that are on hold. However, in this time of things are getting moved around, guess what? There's an opportunity here for the long-forgotten show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
To be moved forward.
You're right, Chris. I did forget about this show.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been done filming for months. They've not been making any more, doing any pickup shots, whatever. The offices, per reports, have also been disbanded. Like, all the effects are done, right? Everything is... Uh-huh. The show's just sitting waiting to come out. I believe it's on, is it on Hulu? Is where the last one came out at, was Hulu?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or Disney Plus for this season. Could Disney Plus shift this around in the schedule and give us some Marvel content in April, May, June of where the show could go rather than wait till the later summer to release it like they originally planned?
I mean, you might as well, like, you know, like everyone says, is we're in a streaming war right now. But as of right now, there seems to be kind of like this, there seems to be like this secret war, pun intended, going on between the streaming services of like, oh, well, what secret cards do we have under our sleeves? And Disney's like, oh, bam, I'm going to put all this stuff out early. Then you have other streaming services that are like throwing out their little guns. So everybody kind of has their own little upper hand advantage when it comes to just delivering the content straight into your home. So there's fun stuff happening here. This is a very interesting time to be a streaming service, because Disney has all these flexes that they can do. Bam, we'll put Frozen out early. We'll go ahead and we'll put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was airing on Hulu, but bam, we're going to put it on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, since it's done, they're not waiting for anything. It's just floating in, you know, the servers right now. Yeah, we'll just open it up early, and they can be like, well, here, to help you during your time, here's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. early, and here's what it really looked like in the 20s, because I think they go back in the past in this one. So I think there's really an opportunity for them to do so if they wanted to, and then also get your Marvel content while Black Widow is down, down the road a little bit more. So I'm going to cross my fingers. Hellstrom is a rap production under the wire, Mike. I mean, if any show was going to be, you know, canned completely because of this, Hellstrom was going to be it. But they have wrapped season one on the Hulu series. The main actor, I think, posted that he was done, and then they had to delete it. So something tells me that maybe, you know, there might be something going on with this show that we don't know about yet.
Very, 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 very strange time to be working on any sort of X-Men adjacent projects.
Well, this is, I wouldn't say X-Men, this is Jeff Loeb-averse. So he deals with demons and stuff. He's not a mutant, but, it's just, what are they going to do with this show? Where's it going to go? Is it going to be one of those surprise drops later this summer that they just don't market? They just like, and Hellstrom's here today.
Will it get a season two pending Kevin Feige's approval? That's the biggest question.
It's not a question. It will not. We know this. If it has Jeff Loeb anywhere on it as an EP, it's done for after this point. But, you know, Hellstrom would be the last remnant of the Loebiverse, I guess, if you will. Mm. But it's done. Speaking of X-Men, though, New Mutants. Delayed again. But Josh Boone this week said that in terms of quality of the movie, he's like, it can only go up from Dark Phoenix, which I was like, jab. Yeah,
throw in shade. I got to imagine that Josh Boone has just mentally detached himself from this movie by now. Having your release date shifted four different times. I went and I checked out his IMDb the other week because we couldn't quite remember who directed this movie. I mean, don't blame us too much, but he's moved on to other things. I think he's directing some like prestige, like streaming service titles or stuff now. So I think he's just moved past the New Mutants in his life. He's got to know in the back of his head that more than likely he's not going to be continuing with this cast of characters. I mean, maybe there's a chance he could always be folded into an MCU movie along the lines. If maybe Feige likes the way that he kind of just put the elements together, we could maybe see him direct, like, I don't know, like Ant-Man 4 or something like that. Who knows what he could do in the future with Marvel. But I just got to imagine he just doesn't care anymore. He's totally fine with, like, throwing shots at Fox's old Dark Phoenix film. But I thought, what I read was this was on the heels of some possible early negative reviews of the movie. So I don't know who has had a chance to see the movie already.
I've not heard any of that. I just heard he was talking to people. I think he was doing rounds for his other film that's coming out this year. What was his other one? The Stand? Or it's a miniseries, yeah. So I thought he was doing rounds for it. And it was just people were asking like what he thought about it. But I mean, he filmed this almost 3 years ago in 2017. So no one... if anyone remembers filming it, I'll be impressed at this point. Yeah. So
I mean, if any movie was just teed up perfectly to be released digitally. I mean, this is it. We already talked about the possibility of this being dumped on a streaming service without ever hitting the theaters before even a quarantine was ever a possibility. So I just feel like now is like just the perfect time. Just get it out there, have the people watch it. You'll get your headlines that you really want, because I feel like no matter what, you're not going to get the box office return that you want on this. The only thing that makes me think it's not happening is, even though Disney does own Fox, maybe there's some sort of contractual obligation written into that deal that, like, all the movies that we have in production right now that Fox has started must be released in theaters, because I have a feeling that there's probably people that are shareholded into that movie that it's just like, oh, no, I made a contract to be in this movie or work on this movie strictly based on like box office returns. So I only got paid X amount expecting to see box office percentage in my wallet. So if maybe there's a stipulation in that contract, maybe Disney can buy them out directly, but it just seems like their hands are tied at this point and they just have to put it in theaters.
Well, I also think, I disagree. I think they can make some money from this. I think X-Men and the mutant thing, whether we agree or not, we're in this every day. The average person will probably watch this and never associate with Marvel at all. The people who are, you're either in the know or you're not in the know. And some of those people are like, oh, why is Superman not in the Avengers? We don't want to talk to those people, Mike. but at the same time, I think New Mutants has an opportunity to make some money at the box office to essentially just even itself out. Now, will it have a long run in the theaters? Probably not. This is one of those movies who could do like a month in and then boom, be on digital a month later, right? They're loading this into the servers right now to hit play. But I mean, it's going to have like a month and it's going to make some money in that first month. But I think it's going to be a short turnaround to where we're watching it.
Uh-huh. I mean, hopefully the budget wasn't too inflated on New Mutants. I just looked at the budget for Dark Phoenix, $200 million.
Yeah,
worldwide, it only made $250. So that already meant it lost money, because on top of marketing, and I don't even know if reshoots are included in that Dark Phoenix $200 million budget. So, I'm going to go ahead and do a long shot here and search New Mutants budget and...
Well, I will tell you, Dark Phoenix has a lot of problems. I guarantee you, New Mutants was shot on a low budget. I mean, just by looking at it, you know, there's no big. They don't have a big bad actor as a villain. I think like the biggest actor at the time this was filmed was Maisie Williams, right? And then followed closely by Anya Taylor-Joy off of her movie Split, around that time. So, I mean, if it was gonna be expensive, I think they would have. Cast a big bad as the villain, like the sequel was going to be with Antonio Banderas, we talked about last week. So this is going to hit theaters, but I just don't think it'll be a quick turnaround. I think that'll be the last we hear of it. It'll go have the X-Men Fox X-Men bundle and that'll be it. But you mentioned Dark Phoenix. It's funny, people are discovering Dark Phoenix for the first time this week, and it's trending on Twitter. I don't know if saw this.
Those poor souls.
Because it's on HBO and they don't have to pay for it. So
it's not good. It's not a good movie.
No. People are like, what the hell's going on? Like the most interesting part was when the dog started barking at the beginning, and this guy was like, my dog started barking at that, wondering what happened to that dog. And there are a couple cool action scenes, but that's nothing to save this movie.
At least if you go back to Apocalypse, at least you got a halfway decent Quicksilver scene.
Uh-huh.
You got to see some kind of interesting 80s aesthetics with the X-Men.
There was the Wolverine thing where he actually wore the comic books. There's like two YouTube scenes out of that movie that are really good.
Yes, these are very YouTubeable movies, that's for sure.
But Dark Phoenix doesn't. Again, I think it's the actor. I don't like Sophie Turner. She plays the same character in this and Game of Thrones, and it's very obnoxious. There was nothing that was going to save this, sadly. But you know, I'm looking. This is a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. Man, that's one star out of their five stars.
Like, yeah, by googling it, I learned, because you know how like Google like pulls in some of that information, they give you a card.
Yeah.
To kind of just sum up everything. If you search Dark Phoenix, they'll give you this little column under the bomb report. And I can only assume that's for movies that have bombed at the box office. So it's unfortunate for Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, no, it's not. It deserved it. Should have quit while you were ahead. Don't do the Dark Phoenix twice, Simon Kinberg. Get out of there. But anyway, it's trending on Twitter if you want to know why. It's because it's on HBO. So if you didn't want to pay for it and you didn't watch it, you can go catch it on HBO. But do something else while you're watching it. You'll probably enjoy it better. the biggest news this week, I think this caught everybody off guard, man. I think this report is blowing people's minds. Rosario Dawson, you may know her from playing in Daredevil and the Defenders, has been cast as fan favorite Ahsoka Tano in season 2 of The Mandalorian. Whoa.
This blew me out of the water. I think mainly because I was not expecting big Hollywood news anytime soon during this pandemic, but I guess casting is definitely news that can make it through a quarantine. So, yeah, this is huge. This is a big deal. I think the biggest rumor floating around Rosario Dawson before this was maybe she could possibly be She-Hulk in the She-Hulk series. So since now she is kind of being tied up at another Disney property, I can only assume that those rumors have now been kind of put to bed. Because usually they don't do cross casting a lot in the Disney universe.
She probably had an envelope that said Disney Plus on it, and someone thought She-Hulk instead of Ahsoka because Ahsoka's never been brought to life before. The only time, again, she's been in the Clone Wars, she's been in Star Wars Rebels, and she was a voice in The Rise of Skywalker at the end of it. Mm-hmm. But those were all voiced by actress Ashley Eckstein, who voices her in all the shows and movies she's been in. So
yeah, I wonder if she's bummed at all that she never got a call to possibly be the character.
And she doesn't look like a character much. I don't think so.
I'm looking her up right now. Yeah, I don't think, unfortunately, when you go from a voiceover role to a on-screen role, you kind of got to match the look in some way, and I don't think that's happening here.
Yeah, no. So, but I mean, that's just cool for fans of Rosario Dawson, who are, you know, fans of her from her Marvel work, from her earlier work in, what, Clerks, you know, the nerd culture, really. She's always been a proponent of comic book stuff, and I think she goes to every Comic-Con, doesn't she? She's at a panel usually at every one of those.
Yeah, she's very nerd-centric, for sure. I mean, this is really cool because now, like, I don't have to worry about spoiling Ahsoka Tana really in general, because I was trying, since I'm working my way through the Clone Wars, and you had told me that she pops up in Rebels, you can kind of make the conclusion that, oh, she's not going to die at the end of this new season of the Clone Wars.
This was a flashback.
Yes, unless there's a flashback. But if she's going to be in The Mandalorian precedes or postcedes. I don't really know how you'd say that in the timeline. But The Mandalorian would be the most would be the oldest appearance of the character Ahsoka. So obviously she even survives through Rebels, even though I haven't seen Rebels. So it's cool that maybe we could kind of see a conclusion of her character in some way. Like, why haven't we seen her in any of the Star Wars films? Why hasn't she popped up anywhere? Is she gonna die in Mandalorian? Is she gonna have like a happy ending? Like, what has she been up to? So there's just lots of story points that they can touch on here.
She has to learn how to be a Force ghost at some point.
Yes, that's true.
That has never been touched in anything. Just want to go ahead and throw that out there. She, you know, has a history with the Darksaber, which we saw at the end of the Mandalorian season 1.
Uh-huh.
And I think, have you got to that in the Clone Wars yet, the Darksaber?
Yes. I don't know if it, don't tell me if it does or doesn't, but it has popped up once for sure. I don't know if it pops up again, but yeah, I have seen the episode where they're doing all the Mandalore stuff.
Yeah, so she has a history with that. Would this also be a soft spot for her to get her own series?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. It could be like a, what do they call those? Like a backdoor pilot, if you will. I mean, Rosario Dawson definitely has the star power to pull off her own series. I think this would be a good testing ground. I also want to see how she's going to look on screen, too. The first thing that I thought of was just like, oh, is this going to be a full CG character? But then I just had to go visually Google Ahsoka again so I could look at her. It's like, I'm stupid. She's a very humanoid character. She does not need to be CG. I could see them maybe doing some tweaking to the, I don't know what you call the stuff on her head. It's like a flesh crown, which sounds really gross to say it that way. But she kind of has those like tentacle hair things coming off her head.
Kind of like, they're not quite tendrils, but yeah, her race of people has those.
Yeah, and they've had her race of people, I believe, in the prequels. I don't know if which prequels that character has shown up in, but this type of character has transcended to live action already. So this is all just very, very cool news because it's just showing fans of Star Wars that the Clone Wars storylines are very much appreciated. The character work that they did there, even though it was on basically a child show, it is strong enough to transcend to a very mature telling of Star Wars on a streaming service.
Yeah, Yeah, and I'm really excited for you to get finished so we can talk about more of that stuff. So I'll wait for that. But I mean, I think this is a great casting news report. You know, whatever it turns out to be, you know, Mandalorian season two. They're hiring a bunch of. They always have a different director, big name director for each episode. They're putting a lot of love into this show. So I'm glad to see they're continuing to do so.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about it on the show. But have you seen the really cool, like, projection room that they filmed The Mandalorian in?
Yeah, with the TVs.
Yeah, that's so cool. If nobody's seen this yet, I don't know where the video originates from. I don't know if it's a Disney Plus. I think it's a Disney Plus show that maybe talked about it, and then the video just got clipped and put on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, they filmed The Mandalorian in a soundstage, just like everything else over at Disney is filmed in a soundstage, probably in Georgia somewhere. But they have this crazy, like, 360 room that they're in, where, like, I'm trying to find the best way to describe it, where, like, the floor that they're walking on has, like, real model. It has, like, rocks. It has, like, brush. It has things that the actors can interact with and lean against. But the walls are just this cylindrical, just curved projection screen that has real-time lighting. So they don't have to, like, bring in a bunch of, like, LED lights and try to fit the color tone to a desert. It's literally, like, the projection of, like, the desert that they've rendered, I think, in, like, the Unreal Engine. So they can, like, update and swap this stuff. If they want to put a rock in the horizon, they can just move it real-time. It's insane. You got to go look this stuff up. It's nuts. So now that I know how they're making The Mandalorian, it just makes me want to rewatch the first season to see if I can kind of, like, spot, like, oh, where they're doing these tricks. But yeah, the Mandalorian has just aged with time like a fine wine. I like the concept and everything about it even more.
Yeah, all 6 months it's been out.
Yes.
A real, really deep wine of 6 months old. But no, I'm excited for more of this. You know, the Disney Plus original content seems to be very, very strong. So for that. But speaking of streaming services that has strong content, yes, people, I hear you. You want me to watch the Harley Quinn show on DC Universe. We hear you. The new trailer for season two has me sold a little bit more than any other trailer I've seen so far. Mike watched this beforehand, and he laughed very audibly at one point. And he was like, can you guess which part I laughed at? I'm like, I know exactly which part you laughed at. But this show was raunchier than I thought it was going to be.
I've heard, I was kind of expecting the show to be more of like an adult action show, but from what I've been hearing from everybody, it's more of an adult humor show with a little bit of action peppered in. So like I've said before on the podcast, this I'm sure will drop on HBO Max day one. And I believe that's happening in May sometime. So we don't have DC Universe. I don't feel like paying for it, especially when it's all going to end up on HBO Max. But when it does, I love adult animation. I love raunchy stuff. We were just talking earlier before we started recording the show about our love for the movie Dodgeball, which I forgot had a lot of really raunchy, dumb, stupid humor in it. So I'm on a raunchy, dumb, stupid humor kick right now. So yeah, this trailer had one specific joke about a shark not understanding the human anatomy, which was a dumb but really smart joke at the same time. So it seems like the people that are making the show are taking it kind of intellectually serious, which I like.
And then she's got smashing blue balls, and then I was like, this is great. I can probably get behind this. So if this is the stuff they've been holding out on me on the trailers, I'm kind of disappointed. So this season two is coming out April 4th, which is a very short turn. I've got since we've talked, Mike, we've been on the air here about an hour, a little over an hour. This show's been added to Chris Flicks, if you will. So you can go catch it there if you need
to.
I got you, fam. But there's that. I was going to tie this into another show, but I also noticed that in terms of the DC world, The Flash was supposed to go into pre-production this week. And guess what's been postponed?
You're talking about the film, right?
Yeah, the film, The Flash.
Okay.
So anything DC related right now is just kind of, not only does it suffer from what we didn't know to begin with, it's starting to suffer from everything else around it.
Yeah, and which is a little unfortunate for them because they were on an upswing. I mean, they have an Oscar win, like a legitimate Oscar win.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Suicide Squad, which got makeup, which I'm not trying to punch down the very talented people that did the makeup on Suicide Squad. But that doesn't mean you can go around touting around town that you have an Oscar winning DC movie. But yes, you have a performance, an Oscar winning performance in a DC movie. And now your steam has just kind of been just chopped out from underneath your legs.
Yeah, exactly. And this movie has been through a lot of turmoil, right? It was supposed to tie into the Batman v Superman or the Justice League, whichever one had that weird scene that where he came back from the future and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that weird part.
And Ezra Miller, I think Ezra Miller's a great person as the Flash, right? He was even at the end of the most recent Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes. His cachet is rising. He's in Harry Potter movies. Yeah. He's walking like red carpets and Met Galas and like crazy outfits. His brand is rising.
Yeah. And so this movie has gone through several directors, several writers, and we were like, great, it's going to do it. And then it's like, delay. So I'm like, hopefully this is just a temporary thing and it picks back up. And that it's not a prolonged delay again for the Flash. For that, Wonder Woman 84 was a hot topic 2 days ago, or maybe it was even yesterday, Mike. I don't remember. I think it was Friday. There was a big rumor that DC was contemplating just dropping it on a streaming service this summer instead of the theaters. It's coming out in June. However, all of Warner Brothers has pretty much come out and said, no, that is not what we're going to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense to do so. Even if it had a month in the theater, it's still going to make a lot more money than dropping straight to digital. And I say this as a digital pirate, Mike. I have to be honest here. I would try to add it to my... I'd probably try to go see it, but adding it to my collection is just so much easier sometimes.
Yeah. And also, not comparing this movie to Black Widow just because it's two female-led superhero movies, but these are two big superhero movies in general that were coming out roughly around the same time. So if Marvel is okay with delaying it and moving it down the line, I don't see why Warner Brothers wouldn't follow suit and just do the same thing with their big tentpole summer movie here. Also, yeah, like it wouldn't make any money. I think there's a chance that there's one studio out there who probably has a film that maybe they might be able to release it digitally, skip the theater altogether, and maybe get a really good box office return. I'm sure there's not a big record out there to break when it comes to video on demand. I'm sure somebody out there has the numbers. And if a big enough movie with a big enough brand ID went ahead and did that direction, they'll get their headline in the Hollywood Reporter and wherever else that, oh, so-and-so movie has the biggest video on demand release of all time. Is this what we're expected to see in this quarantine outbreak? Is this the new normal? But no, it's just going to be a one-time thing. I don't think it's going to be repeatable. And also, I've seen some people complaining about the video on demand prices, which kind of annoyed me a little bit. They're like, oh, what do you mean this movie that never hit theaters before I have to pay $20 to rent? Like, I can rent a movie for like $4 on Amazon Prime. And she's like, well, yeah, that movie already ran through theaters. Like, do you not understand that?
Yeah.
Do you not understand the millions of dollars that went into making this movie now has to recoup its entire production by video on demand? There's going to be a premium for renting movies that have not been in the theaters before. So I'm not looking forward to seeing all those annoying people complain on the internet about it. Like, I saw the same thing with Bloodshot.
Yep.
Bloodshot is being released very, very early. I think it technically had a theatrical release, but it was cut out about a week after because all the movie theaters closed in all the large markets.
Well, you're just cutting into my next topic, Mike, here. I mean, come on now. But no, I mean, I think, you know, this is a thing where we're going to, like, right now, this is a very weird 2 months, I think, possibly 3 months for everything movie-wise. Mm-hmm. But do you think, I think you're right. Wonder Woman 84 is a tentpole. The first movie did bonkers at the box office. It was the first good DC movie, right, that everyone kind of agrees on. So I don't think there's no way they would do it straight to digital.
Yes.
So
this is a unique and exceptional time that hopefully, cross our fingers, we will not experience again in our lifetime. So there's no reasons for entire studios to wholly upend their entire system. And it's a very smart idea to maybe they're realizing there is a large benefit in having a streaming service, at least so you have an option in times like this, because at least Disney has the option. But yeah, there's no reason to totally change the entire Hollywood system just because of one quarantine. But like I've said before, I would love the opportunity to watch more movies from my home a lot sooner. So maybe the big outcome of a quarantine is just the time between digital release and the time between it leaving theater is just shrinks even more.
It's showing us that we have the ability to put these things out on digital sooner rather than go to the theater. I am an old school person. I love going to the theater. I love the experience. I love the lack of distractions when I'm watching a movie. It's so easy to get, you know, caught up on, oh, my phone or my text or, you know, my watch is buzzing while I'm in the at home, and I really don't like to do that when I want to watch a movie. So.
And plus, there's no IMAX equivalent at home. I mean, we love to dog on the movie Avatar, the James Cameron blue one. But I mean, like, imagine seeing that movie for the first time at home. It just wouldn't have had the same impact.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I really like taking my big jar of pickled jalapenos into the theater. I don't like to eat those.
No, keep your smelly snacks out of the theater, please.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll do pickled onions next time. They got a little more color. They might glow in the dark.
I like pickled onions. I don't think they stink as much, so that might be okay.
Yeah, that's fine. But you bring up a good point here. There are movies releasing in digital early, Mike, and I've got a list of some of them. Just as a sum of them that we know right now. This list is evolving, changing, adapting every couple hours, it seems like. But the big ones are Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey will already be on digital, I think, this week by the 24th. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday.
Shortening the release window for them. It doesn't seem as early just because I feel it seems like time is nothing but a construct and everything has been shifted and warped. For some reason, I feel like Birds of Prey came out like last fall, but no, it was earlier this year.
It was in February, which was in the midst of the Chinese area, the China... I guess their quarantine, their coronavirus problems. Mm-hmm. They're moving out of it now, and we're moving into it. So, to recoup a global box office, they might as well cut their thing short and just put it out for everybody for that. Also on Tuesday is Bloodshot, which I think did have it had one weekend that had like $10 million, and that was it. I think the theaters closed halfway through. So Bloodshot this Tuesday as well, Mike. We talked about doing a review for this. I'd love to do a review with this.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're going to have the opportunity to watch it now. So, yeah, maybe we'll throw up a nice movie review for everybody stuck at home.
Exactly. Also, the week before that was the movie Onward, which is now on digital to buy.
Yep. And I think if you just have a little bit more patience, I think if you just wait two more weeks, you can just stream it for free on Disney Plus, which I thought was pretty cool. We're starting to see. So this was a really large question I had when Disney Plus was first released. I wanted to know, when were these movies that hit theaters going to release onto Disney Plus? Like, really, how premium of a service is this? If we still have to wait the normal amount of time that we would have to wait for it to land on Netflix, because Netflix had the Disney contract, in years past, it makes Disney Plus feel less special because it's just the same as Netflix, but just Disney owns it, so their stuff goes there now. So it makes me wonder, maybe moving forward, the next, what's the other Pixar movie coming out this year? Isn't there another one? Soul, yeah.
And I think it's in June as well.
Yeah, so if Soul comes out, if Soul has like a normal release that's not tainted by these quarantines, maybe the window from that coming out on Disney Plus will be much shorter. I would be okay with that evolution of Hollywood.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because I'm going to go... It's a tricky thing. I like having them on my collection. We've mentioned this, but I also like going to the theater. So, I mean, if I really enjoy it, I'm going to like it. I'm going to do both. So I'm doubling down, but there are some people who are going to do one or the other. So, I think having that option for everybody's a good thing all around. I think make bigger TVs cheaper, Mike. That's how we do this. Also, I don't know. I shared this with you. The Netflix app or plugin called Watch Party. It's a third party unofficial plugin where you can create a party to watch the same Netflix with everybody at the same. It syncs all your accounts up on the same thing. It's not a legally streaming thing. You're using your own accounts. It's pretty cool. And I wish we would have done that. We tried to do Pixels time. And that was a nightmare to record
at the same time, if you're doing it in a podcast format, you still need a visual marker for people that may want to listen at home with you. So that's one thing that's difficult too. It's like, okay, everybody hit play on the movie when you see this production logo. Right. Hit play now. So that's a cool little plugin. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's browser only. It would be cool if Netflix made that feature real, so like I could like stream it normally through my Roku, and then you could watch it, through your PlayStation or Xbox or however you watch.
I wish they had this in VR. Like, imagine you and me and like our VR headsets, and like it shows like an avatar of each of us in this theater together, this room watching the television.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I think that'd be fun.
I think that experience does exist, but you have to use like third party like VR systems, and I think some of it's kind of locked off depending on if you're like Oculus or Vibe, and you probably have to like buy or download a certain home theater app or whatever. But yeah, that's too and things probably don't sync the same too. So
yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Probably everyone has to buy into it and everything like that. I just I wish it was easier. Other than that, Sonic the Hedgehog is already coming out to digital, I think, later this month, I think the 31st of this month.
That's good news. I haven't seen the movie yet. I want to check it out. It's the biggest box office video game movie of all time, surpassing Detective Pikachu via the headline I read the other day.
The domestic only.
Yes.
So people in Japan love their Pikachus, for sure. Bad Boys for Life is also getting moved up a little bit, in case you were wanting to watch. This is confusing to me. It's not Bad Boys for Life. It's Bad Boys 3 Life. they had an opportunity for a better name here, and they didn't do it. So
yeah, well, I was actually surprised. I mean, before the pandemic ensued, Bad Boys actually had a really good box office run at the very beginning of the year. I think a lot of people were kind of apprehensive because it was a January released movie, but apparently people liked it. People went and saw it, and it did good.
It's also a Bad Boys movie. So
yeah, Bad Boys 3 Life.
Bad Boys 3 Life. But on the other side of this coin, movies have been delayed, Mike, other than Black Widow, other than the stuff we've talked about before. So far as June, or July maybe, Minions, The Rise of Gru has already been pushed back. And I think that's to make room for all these upcoming movies that are being pushed back to summer.
Yeah, maybe. I'm getting... everybody knows on the podcast, we are very much in tune with the Comic-Con scene, and the mothership of all Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, has still not made any official decisions on what they're going to do with their July comic convention. So they're probably doing exactly what we're doing right now, is we're kind of looking at the landscape. How's it shaping up? Are people starting to cancel and move things around the summer? The summer is a really big question mark right now, because we don't know how good we're going to do with the virus over the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, this isn't necessarily a good sign, but unless it goes the way that you're thinking, they're just moving it back to fit other things in the summer.
Yeah.
So I'm crossing my fingers that hopefully we get a normal 2020 summer, but I've already, there's also been rumors floating around of maybe the Olympics getting postponed as well, so who knows, maybe we won't get our big summer movies this year.
Yeah, well, the hard part is with Minions is it's a kids movie. Kids are out of school in the summer. This is when you have to take them to the movies, right? So are they going to take a hit by doing that, or what? So maybe save it for a holiday weekend, a long 3-day weekend.
All I have to say is I don't really care too much for the Minions, so it's not the biggest deal for me.
But it's still quote-unquote a tentpole overall, for just not for us. Just like Chris Rock's upcoming Spiral from the Book of Saw movie being pushed back as well.
Did you see the trailer for this? Yeah. I think it came out a few weeks ago. I'm trying to remember, was there any... that's somewhat forgettable trailer, because it just kind of seemed like,
Chris Rock in a cop car?
Yeah, I was like, what's happening in this? It seems like maybe are they going to be spending more time outside in the open? I don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, or if it's even in the Saw universe, but Chris Rock's taking his crack at this horror, revitalizing this horror franchise that had like 20 movies beforehand, and it's been pushed back as well.
Saw is such a strange franchise. I mean, coming from my wife, who is terrified of scary movies, anything with like a ghost, anything possessed, creepy stuff, bumps in the night.
Horror. Ugh.
But she loves the Saw movies, which is just crazy. So I'm sure she'll want to see this.
I was going to look up. Lee Whannell and James Wan did Saw. Lee Whannell, he did the Invisible Man movie that just came out, and the Upgrade movie that I enjoy. And then James Wan did Aquaman. So these guys have gone on to do great things from Saw.
Also,
but.
Yeah. Well, also, speaking of early released movies, Blumhouse is supposed to be putting a lot of early things out. I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast last week, because like you said, the news is moving and evolving so quickly. But I believe The Invisible Man is also coming out soon, on top of some other Blumhouse stuff that I'm not familiar with. But The Invisible Man is probably the most tendentially close to what we talk about here.
Yeah,
on the show.
Invisible Man. There's some Universal ones too. I didn't know what they were. So, and lastly, Mike, I just want to put this out there, because I know we really want video game movies from Sony to be a thing. But Uncharted, the movie production, has been hit by a 6-week delay.
Ooh, rough.
After however many delays it's already suffered, what's another 6 weeks?
I don't know if we ever got an official director back on this movie, because for a while I was really hyped about it, because I'm a fan of the up-and-coming director Dan Trachtenberg, who worked on 10 Cloverfield Lane. He was originally attached to it, and then he's unattached to it, so I don't know who they're bringing on to this movie, but I love the Uncharted video game franchise, so I hope it gets what it deserves. But unfortunately, if the movie ends up being bad, just play the games because the games are amazing.
Yeah, Ruben Fleischer is currently the director. He's an EP on the Superstore TV series.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a good TV series. Hopefully he can make an efficient jump to the large box office.
Oh, that's world. Just his producer. He's got more producer than he did Zombieland and Zombieland Double Tap.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah. So he's Gangster Squad. He's got some stuff in there. So just want to throw that in there. But Mike, that's it for the week. You know, longer, not much news, but longer episode than usual because, you know, we know how to talk.
Well, we're professionals, Chris. Like we said, this is a hobby, but we are professionals.
Professionals in our professional studio environments where we record these shows every week. If people want to know what you're up to, how you're getting by on the quarantine, how can they find you this week?
Oh, it's very easy. All you got to do is follow me at Mike Royer Design on Instagram and Twitter, and you can read my webcomics at pickledcomics.com. Chris, if people want to catch up with you, seeing if you're touching doorknobs or not, where can they find you?
I'm not touching those doorknobs. I'll lick them, but I won't touch them. You can find me on Twitter, Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N. Someone tagged me in a really fun thing about tag your five GIF and five other people from your favorite movie, get from your favorite movie and five other people. So I tagged some people. I tagged you in it this week. I really enjoy the Grand Budapest Hotel. So if someone hasn't watched that yet, please.
That tag is a little bit more fun than the other one that's going around, which is C20Do20, which is where you have to do 20 push-ups if somebody tags you in it. So maybe...
That's miserable.
Yeah, maybe I'll do the movie.
How about watch 20... movies, tag 20 movie or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Or let's just swap it. Do 5 push-ups, watch 20 movies.
Exactly. I'll take that. You can also head over to Instagram, Valdan87, or also head over to Comic UI, where I've been posting some news about stuff as these things have been unfolding lately. If people want to know more about our show, where they can listen to more episodes, where can they find us at?
Oh, it's so easy to do. Just visit superheroslate.com. That is the best place to find all the avenues we host our show and to get our awesome show notes. So if you want to see what we talked about here, you know, I realized the other day, every week I tell people to go to the website to check out the show notes, but depending on the podcast app you're on, I believe you also get these show notes right within the little info tab on your little podcast. So if you can't get to a web browser very quickly, you can get this right in your awesome little podcast app. So you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and wherever else you love listening to podcasts. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can get merch at superheroslate.com/store. We love hearing from you. We want to know how you're surviving the quarantine. What stuff are you catching up on? You know, is there anything out there that's your Westworld to me? Like, it was something that I let kind of fester on a shelf for a while, then I got back to it and I really liked it. It was like making a good cheese. It got better the longer I waited. What show are you finally looking forward to getting back and watching? We'd love to hear from you, and we love our super fans of this show. And I'll say it again, just like I said it last week, if you want to be a super fan of this show, all you have to do is wash your damn hands. Yep. And we will be here every week,
and including next week. We'll see you then.
All right, bye everybody.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.
My reputation is on the line.
There you go. Chris's pirating reputation is on the line in these trying times.